May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The great Leonardo da Vinci once wrote, "Every now and then, go away. Have a little relaxation. For when you come back to your work, your judgment will be surer, since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power of judgment. Go some distance away, because the work appears smaller, and more of it can be taken at a glance, and a lack of harmony or proportion is more readily seen." Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces fruits for the kingdom." Today's passage from the gospel is known as the parable of the wicked tenants, and is one of Jesus' teachings that comes following his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So setting the stage, he's just come into Jerusalem. They have laid palm branches at his feet. They have sung the hosannas. And he goes from that event to cleansing the temple and upsetting the Jewish authorities, turning the tables upside down, if you will. And now he tells this parable of the wicked tenants. It's a climatic point in the gospel, leading to his arrest and crucifixion. Jesus here is powerfully teaching his disciples and followers that God has an expectation of them, an expectation that they will bear fruits for the kingdom of God. We might not use language kingdom of God, we might use mission of the church, or for Christianity. But God expects this bearing of fruits. Now it's obvious to both the chief priests and the Pharisees that are out there that Jesus is clearly speaking to them about their rejection of him and his teachings. So they become angry even more, but we hear in the gospel that they're afraid to do anything because at this point Jesus is regarded as a prophet. But we have to say as well that beyond the Pharisees and the chief priests, Jesus was also addressing his disciples, his followers, those who were there to hear, and in the same way addresses us today. Because whether we intentionally or unintentionally reject the Son of God, by the ways in which we live, the things that we say, the things that we do, we can miss the kingdom of God. And so for us today, it's an invitation to look anew at whether or not we are being all that we can be for the kingdom of God. Are we living out our ways of life that glorify God, that serve Jesus Christ? What has been your life's work? And what is it today? Whether you are presently working outside of the home, whether your work is within the home, whether you are a student, whether you are retired, whether you are in between positions at this point in your life. What is your life's work? What are you perhaps dreaming that it may be one day? The words of the great artist and intellectual Leonardo da Vinci that we opened with beckon us to take some time away and reflect. Take time literally or perhaps even just figuratively. How about just a few minutes right now? Is your life directed by God and making a difference for the kingdom in our midst, for the church, for this community, for the larger commonwealth, for the world? God wants you to live with joy. God wants you to live with joy and promises that this joy will be found when we accept Christ and live our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. Make a difference in another's life. Make a difference for the kingdom of God. The vision that God has for your life, is one where your vocation, your volunteering, your serving, and joy meet. Is this true for your life's work today? Do joy and vocation intersect? It's not so easy to find that place, is it? That place where they intersect. I find it ironic that on my GPS system, the hardest thing to plug in is an intersection. Just try that sometime. Say, well, I know it's at this and this. It doesn't ever want to accept that. And I have mine set with an English accent, so she really gets angry, you know. She's like, no, I said no. Are you considering changing the work that God has for you? Because God has believed a great work is present in you already. So if it's not true for your work right now, it's time to seek that vocation to which you are being called. God has begun a wonderful work in you. It's what Paul is talking about in the letter from Philippians that we heard read just a few minutes ago, where Paul says, "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." And then he goes on to say, "Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own." In other words, I haven't done this on my own. But this one thing I do know, he writes, forgetting what lies behind. Let's leave the past in the past. I strain forward towards what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a powerfully optimistic and hope-filled statement of looking forward from this day. It's reminiscent to me of that wonderful statement that we are in control with God's grace. We're at the wheel. You know, when you look back behind a boat and you see the wake, the wake doesn't drive the boat, does it? The wake is in the past. We are able to go forward. Way back in 1996, it seems like a long time ago, and it is, because I'm sure folks who were born that year here, I ran for the first time the Peachtree Road Race on July 4th in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was a time in my life, in my 30s, I was 36 at the time, that I became serious about running. And so that was kind of my thing, running. And the Peachtree was the first real race that I would run. And it's quite an overwhelming one in which to begin. It's not because of the distance. The Peachtree is 6.2 miles. But rather, because of the thousands upon thousands of runners participating in what is an international event. If you have run in it, it's even larger than it's ever been now. And I was a very average runner, so I was positioned in the middle section of the running field. You have to give your times, and it would be silly to to not tell the truth because they'll put you with people that are way too fast for you if you say you're faster. But I wasn't in the slowest group either. I was sort of in the middle. And the race is incredibly well organized. I mean, I can't imagine what goes into the planning. It ends at Piedmont Park in downtown Atlanta, where my family, my children were little then, and my wife were going to meet me, you know, the victorious runner was going to come in. And as we lined up, I suddenly had this incredible case of nerves. You know, where you go, oh, this is not good. You know, and it's real early in the morning and you haven't had enough coffee yet. And the race began and I started to feel better because in the beginning you can't run anyway. There's so many people that you're literally just walking a little bit. You know, you're not really running. And so it starts to open up, you start to jog and you start to be able to breathe and you feel better. And there's a part of the race that goes past Piedmont Hospital, a hospital I used to see lots of parishioners in. But that hill going up is called Heart Attack Hill because it's an incredible hill. When you make it to the top of that, you feel really impressed with yourself. But that's when it really gets tough because it starts to get really hot. It was well into the 90s at that point. Now you're really tired. And all of a sudden, I'm breathing heavier. I'm a pretty new runner. And all of a sudden, those negative thoughts creep into my head. What are you doing out here anyway? You're not really a runner. Most of these folks are so much better. Just look at them. All of those things, that whatever it is in life happens to us when those voices start telling us these things. And then I remembered the prayer from Holy Scripture, the prayer that Paul says in today's letter to the Philippians. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And I focused on those words for the last 2 miles of the race, and I completed the race. No amazing time, very, very average, but I finished. Can you believe that you can do anything? Any vocation and service in life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you and gives you the confidence to press on, no matter what age you are in this church today. Surely that was the belief of Paul, who was writing to the Christians in Philippi. They're the words of the gospel where Jesus says God wants you to produce fruits for the kingdom. I want you today to lean on those words for courage and inspiration. Live your life to make a difference and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen.